It's your time to be a champion.
Champions, welcome to the month of May. Wow, a new month, new opportunity, just new grace and mercy really is all that it is. As we are still dealing with what this country is going through, we can certainly be grateful that we made it to see another month. This month in particular is truly special because it is Mother's Day. And if you have been following me for a while, you know the story behind my mother and I. And if you have not, guess what? You're in for a treat. So I am honored to be your host of the show, Quinea Futrell, known around the world as Author Q. I have an amazing champion expert that will be joining us today. Particularly this month, what you can expect to hear from us is I will be bringing on guests who are very special to me, hold a very special place in my heart and in my world because we have done a book project together entitled Why My Mom. It actually coincided with a film. You can go to YouTube and type in Why My Mom series and certainly find all 10 video feeds there as well so that you can just have something to go along with the book. But please know, Why My Mom started out of a place of pain. Why My Mom is something that is a universal movement that is going to support men and women, really, but this particular edition was targeting women. We really want to make sure that we serve people during this time, during this month, while everybody else is buying flowers, while everybody else is buying, you know, bears and manicure gift cards and hair, and even, you know, just enjoying fellowship with a simple laugh and, you know, a really gentle conversation, please know that not everybody is experiencing that during this time. There are many of us who do have strained relationships with our mothers or who have overcome strained relationships with our mothers. And so the purpose this month for the podcast is to surely just touch on those sensitive issues, right? We want to really go ahead and just talk about that mama trauma, what that looks like, and how you too can enjoy your Mother's Day month, not just this year, but every year thereafter. And even if you don't totally grasp it this year, my belief is that a seed will be planted and that you'll get it for the next. So I'm excited. One of the authors that we have today is author and teenologist Marsha Ali. She actually is chapter one in the book, Why My Mom, and her chapter deals with rejection, and I'm pretty sure someone listening has dealt with that as well, whether it's with your mom or any other relationship. Rejection is hard. Rejection is real. And rejection can carry you all the way from childhood until your latter years in life if you don't call it out for what it is, address it, heal from it, and really deal with it, because without dealing with it, you'll never heal. And so I'm honored to have her today. So how are you, ma'am?
I am great. I am great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm excited to have you today. It's going to be really good.
I'm excited to be here.
So tell the folks all about you, what you do right now, and then we'll get a little more into the project itself.
Okay. Well, again, I'm Marsha Ali, affectionately known as the Teenologist here in the 757 area. I actually offer services to teens and parents. My nonprofit is called TOF, which is an acronym for Time Out for Teens. And under TOF, I do a parenting program called Parenting on Purpose. At TOF, we believe that there is no time, there isn't any time that's not a right time for a teen. And at Parenting on Purpose, I partner with parents to save this nation one child at a time. I've been working with families for over 25 years, and I love, love, love kids.
Love it. It sounds like you do. I love it. So talk to us about your chapter. So I'm literally sitting here with the book now, and so many highlights, so many underlines. But for the folks out there who may not have picked up the book yet, tell them what your chapter kind of briefly is about.
My chapter encompasses my journey of dealing with rejection and how it spilled over to basically every area of my life.
Yeah.
Going through the journey of doing the Why My Mom project, I was forced to deal with layers of living. And when I say layers of living, not just in childhood, but even in my adult life, just pinpointing and targeting different things that allowed me to go to a place of being depressed and rejected and walking through a season of just being lonely. I often felt like it was because of things that were done to me, but some of it was self-inflicted, and I had to come to grips with that. It had roots in my relationship with my mom, but it also had roots in other things that after a while I just felt rejected in just about every area of my life, and my personal relationships and my marriage, in friendships, in being a mom, just a number of places.
Wow, I love it. And I know that that's something that is totally relatable because so many of us deal with that, right? And instead of just calling it what it is, you know, we call it everything else or dance around the subject matter. How is it that you gained the strength to just call it what it was, just rejection, and to just totally just face that that is something that I suffer with, deal with, and had to overcome?
Well, learning to confront rejection, because I do believe you can't conquer what you won't confront.
Right.
And a lot of times things are right in front of your face and you don't want to look at it. And a lot of times, you know, as humans, we look at rejection just as someone disconnecting from us. But for me, it started long ago, even in my adult life. You know, for example, I had several miscarriages and I felt like a failure. I felt like I couldn't be a mom. You know, I was a wife. I'm supposed to be a mom. And then, you know, when you lose a job, if you're terminated, you know, and you feel that it was not right, you feel like the employer rejected you.
Yeah.
And if you try to do a task, you know, for me, I went to nursing school and I struggled passing my nursing boards, and praise God I did it many years later. That's a whole nother story, but many, many years later, I felt rejected from life in general to the point at one time I felt like I just didn't even want to be here. So rejection is, it comes in all forms of disguises, and we look at it as, you know, depression and giving up and people don't like you or why this or why they don't want to be bothered with me. But for me, I had to go to therapy. I didn't want to go to therapy,
yeah,
but I found a good therapist. And although I am a Christian, you know, I love the Lord, but everything is not spiritual. You have to get somebody that's going to call you on the carpet and make you look at it, say it is what it is. You have to be willing to do the work so that you're not always the common denominator in the sentence, and just do what needs to be done to be free. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you a failure, but you have to be willing to do the work so that you can be the best you that you can be. So
yeah,
for me, I tell people all the time, love the Lord, pray, but get you a good therapist that's going to pull you out of that dump that you're in, because it's a dump, and it's a dark dump.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, it's crazy because one of our episodes was just Pray About It, and we brought on a mental health specialist who's also a first lady, and she dealt with that. I think it's so important that we talk about that because so many, you know, believers and so many different, you know, people who have different religious practices, particularly those, you know, in the Christian community, they do believe that, you know, it's one or the other, instead of understanding and realizing that you can have both and that we need both, especially dealing with, you know, this thing called life that we've been dealt, and especially when it pertains to trauma, because I'm just period point blank believer that anytime you've experienced any type of trauma, you need to go see one, because you can pray all day, but you need some coping mechanisms and some strategies so that you can make it through life in a healthy mental state and emotional state. Because, you know, most of the time for church, it's just emotional. And I recently had a conversation with a friend about that and how now we are getting back to the relationship of it during this
time. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The relationship is so much bigger than the tears or the running around or the jumping. You know, that relationship is what's going to keep you. So, yeah, that's very, I mean, very important. In your chapter, you notice, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, because all that crying and jumping around and shouting in tongues and 10 hours later, you still suck.
Listen,
still stuck.
Just
I can remember those days of going to a place that, you know, I used to go to with other women and be there all night, love the Lord, going higher and higher, and come out and come home, and guess what? It's still sitting there waiting for you.
Still right there.
you can't stay in the spirit. You got to come out sooner or later.
Yeah. I mean, literally, even at the parking lot, it'll meet you there.
Your phone
will ring before you even leave the parking lot with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, crazy. So in your chapter, you mentioned a psalm that I think is so important, especially when you think of the topic forgiveness, right? Because so many people, especially people that don't get it per se, they'll say, oh, just forgive. Just forgive them. You'll be okay. Just forgive them and get over it. And if only if it were that easy. So you mentioned a song called A Heart That Forgives. Talk to us about that and what forgiveness looks like for you.
A Heart That Forgives was just life-changing to me. And it was just sent to me early one morning, a random text with a link to YouTube. And I was like, okay, what is this about? I was like, I valued the person that sent it to me, and I really was going through something, but I didn't want to deal with forgiveness.
Yeah.
But I played that song, and when I tell you, it was life-changing because it shifted forgiveness from the person back to me.
Ooh.
And being in a place of overcoming rejection, and I will add to that, rejection will make you a people pleaser.
Mm.
So when I listened to the song and it talked about how you need to allow God to change your heart, I learned that forgiveness really wasn't about the other person. It didn't make them right. It didn't make them, you know, let them off the hook, so to speak. But it freed me. So I've learned to forgive and forgive quickly.
Oof.
Because holding on to unforgiveness does many things to us physically and mentally.
Yeah.
You know, I'm also a nurse, a licensed practical nurse, and I truly believe that scientifically that unforgiveness brings on things in your body.
Yeah.
It can aggravate your immune system, and you internalize things, and it just eats away at you. And what happens is the person that you don't want to forgive or the people that you don't want to forgive, they going on about their life.
Yes,
they ain't thinking about you.
Yes, they are.
They know what they did was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? You just sitting there replaying, hit the replay button over and over every time you think about it, every time you see them, it's like an automatic replay, like a cassette player or a DVD player. You just going back to the initial instance. And, you know, I took a class that my therapist taught, and it talked about, you know, the bait of Satan and how it's the spirit of offense. And when you walk in that and you internalize that, you begin to live it, and you can't do anything. So I've learned to forgive quickly. Is it easy? No. Again, it was through a lot of therapy and, yes, prayer, but I had to learn to forgive and let go quickly. And now I've mastered it you know, to does it come up every now and then? Of course. But I've learned to forgive people. I'm able to be in the same atmosphere with them and love them with the love of Christ and not even, you know, let that spill over into the moment, because at the end of the day, you waste a lot of time.
True.
You stop a lot of things from being funneled to you from the Lord just because you want to hold on to something. And I'm going to tell you something. My first lady taught me something a long time ago. She said, you can't pay nobody back the way God can.
Mm.
So stop wasting your time trying to replay in your mind, you know, because as women, you know, we can just rehearse what we're going to say.
Yes,
oh, when I
ma'am.
See them, I'm going to say this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be looking like this. And I've learned that, you know what, I'm good. I wish you the best. I love you with the love of Jesus. And, you know, maybe we just have to disconnect, and I'm good with that. And for me, that was a hard part because I dealt with rejection and failure. The disconnect part was hard for me because I wanted an answer. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know why. But when I truly let go and let God, he began to show me why.
Yeah, he will. So, if you open yourself to it, he will show you.
Yep.
He will show you. It. We waste so much time in that unforgiveness space.
Yeah.
So much time because we want. It's like a thing where we tell ourselves, if I forgive them, then they won. Talk to that.
Absolutely. Because when you deal with. When people deal with rejection and failure and loneliness and depression, you know, you feel like forgiveness is making them win.
Yeah.
And we want to hold on to everything because you already feel depleted because you done gave everything.
Yep. Or had
you
it taken
given,
from you.
And you, exactly, or you've had it taken from you. And even in that, sometimes, they don't really take it. We just sit it on a table for them to grab.
Ooh,
so they didn't really take it. You just set it out there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you want to be loved. You want to be nurtured. You want to be held. You want to be a part of a crowd or a group. You want to be seen. You want to be liked. But I dealt with something even recently that I had to deal with. And I felt so like I was being compressed down to the floor.
Mm.
And I was like, God, I know I'm supposed to forgive. I'm supposed to let go. And I walked in my door. And as soon as I opened the door, I heard the voice of the Lord say to me, daughter, I support you.
Mm.
And I was like, wow. I just broke into tears because that's what I needed in that moment.
Yeah.
But the Bible says if God be for you, he is more than the whole world against you.
Yeah.
So if he supports me and he's validated me, I don't care what the task is or what the journey is, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
And anybody that's listening to this podcast, you're going to be okay. I have a thing over my desk. It says, difficult roads often lead to beautiful destinations. The journey is very difficult. But in the end, I know the plan for me is good.
Yeah. And that's it.
I know it's good.
It's good. He know what it is, and it's to give us a hope, not to deplete us, and he ain't being evil with it.
Absolutely.
And that's what we got to focus on. I love it. I love it. If we have someone listening who is in a state of just weariness when it comes to this time of year, right, because they've dealt with so much rejection in their relationship with their mother, and it's just not, it just hasn't ever been good for them, and although they want it to be, it just isn't there yet, what words of encouragement would you share?
The first word of encouragement I would share is this. If you are in a place with your mother and you are a mother, I need you to forgive her Because number one, you are robbing your children of the right to celebrate you. Because you so wrapped up in your mind of how the day is going to be for you and your mother. God loved you enough to allow you to birth your own seed, to change that trajectory for you. So that's the first thing I would say to any mother who is out there, or even just a daughter, even if you don't have any children. Don't let one day out of the year destroy you.
Yeah.
Because I had to learn that me and my mother are totally different. She's my mother. I love her. I have forgiven her. She has apologized to me. But even till this day, we are different. And it's okay that we are different. We don't have to be the same.
Yeah.
And if you are having conflict with what we have dealt with the past 8 weeks, you need to forgive. You need to at least attempt to have a conversation. And that conversation may go completely left and beat you down some more. But what do I know about the art of forgiveness? It will free you. You can have peace that if either one of you end up with COVID-19 or anything else that takes you off this earth, you can have peace in that final moment that you did not get a chance to say, get a chance to write, get a chance to text. There are too many ways of modern technology. You can schedule a free Zoom and put your screen blank and say what you need to say.
Yeah.
You can record a video and send it. But you have to get to a place of peace in that relationship.
Absolutely.
For yourself.
Yeah.
And that's just what I would encourage. I can only speak to, you know, a situation because my mom is still alive. And I'm grateful that we had a chance to have this conversation. And I believe that had I never yielded to writing in Why My Mom, I would still be out there frustrated on Mother's Day trying to fake my way through the day and doing what I felt I needed to do. But I don't have to do that anymore. I have that freedom because I did the work and I trusted the process.
That's real. That's so real. And the work was wild.
The work was wild.
That project alone was a year. Beyond the counseling sessions before then and after then, the project itself was a year. With 9 full months of therapy sessions. It was no joke. Yeah.
9 months of being pregnant.
That's exactly what it was.
To deliver a book.
Yeah.
And when I tell you, just like pregnancy has complications, there were a lot of complications and hiccups in this project.
Yeah.
To the point where I was like, I ain't doing this. I mean, because even in the
you
middle
and me
of the
both,
process,
okay?
You know, I was like, you know, I know she didn't do this to me. Not now.
Right.
Not now. So, I mean, it was many times that I had to rewrite because it's not good to bleed on the people. I'm not trying to come in agreement with somebody's issues and drama. My assignment was to give somebody hope and speak life to them.
Yeah.
But it wasn't easy. And to that daughter who may choose to have that conversation, if not Mother's Day, I hope and pray soon after. Yeah. It's not going to be easy. She may buck back at you. She may say, you know what, that's your story.
Yeah.
That ain't how it happened.
Come on.
I didn't do that. You did that.
Yeah, we've seen it. Yep.
But, you know, that's a chance you have to take for your freedom because you're the one that's going to be free.
Yeah.
You're the one that's going to be free.
Because even after that, you say, okay, well, we can agree to disagree. I'm glad
exactly.
I got that off my chest. Anything you want to share?
Yep.
All right. Well, I love you anyway.
Yep.
And you keep on moving.
And, you know, it's so good because not only did I learn it about my mom, it's with any relationship.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a trickle down.
We can just, you know, agree to disagree, or we may not come to any median. But you know what? I can release you and keep it moving, and I can see you later on and be like, hey, how you doing? You know, I hope everything is good for you, because that bitterness and that resentment is not there. You know, it's like acid being poured on an open cut. You know, because you're just constantly trying to figure out how it could have been handled. And why are they living their best life, and I'm sitting here boiling? Because that's what you're doing. You're boiling.
That's it.
And guess
they living.
And if you boil something on the stove and go away too long, guess what? You're going to come back, that pot going to be burnt.
Sure,
because
enough.
The water done boiled out.
Yep.
And you still mad. Mm-mm. Choose life. Choose love. Because love is always going to win.
Yes, it is. No matter what. No matter what. And it's okay. You know, the point of all of this is to really help people understand that this is a real thing. You know, and it's time out for constantly, you know, we'll talk about a deadbeat dad or a dad who wasn't around or a dad who was, you know, absent or, you know, dealing with so many issues as a woman because your father wasn't around. But we have yet to address what that looks like when your mother isn't. And so I'm grateful that we did this. I'm grateful that we took the time to really shed light on something that deserves a voice. The last thing that I want to mention is one of the biggest things that I know I love to address when dealing with childhood trauma is that little girl or little boy inside. I'm going to read one of the lines that you wrote, and then I just want you to speak to that for someone who could be listening. And so in your chapter you said, to the little girl in me, I say, hey, Marcia, I know you wanted your parents to stay together, but they can't, and you're going to have to get used to the house being different. It'll feel strange at first, and you'll probably miss Daddy a lot, but you can get through this.
Yeah. That was something that I had to resolve because I've always been a daddy's girl.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't understand why he left me. I looked at it as he left me.
Wow.
My mom never talked bad about my dad, but I'm so much like him, I recognize later on that every time she saw me, she saw him.
Yeah.
That wasn't my fault.
Yeah.
It wasn't her fault, but that was the hand that I was dealt. Mm-hmm. So getting used to him not being there, I learned later on as an adult, had I gotten the necessary tools and therapy that I needed, I would have been able to detach myself from what was going on between the two of them and really enjoy both of them.
Yeah.
But because I was trying to please both of them and I knew that that wasn't happening, I just went off the deep end and just started living Marsha's, what I thought was my best life.
Right.
So you have to tap into the little girl inside of you. You have to tap into the little boy inside of you because that child needs healing.
Absolutely.
And it not only will affect you, it will affect your children.
Yeah.
Because my children suffered. You know, my son, and I thank God for him, because my youngest son was the one that pulled me on the carpet on many occasions and said many things. And one of the things that he dealt with me on was having a child who I birthed and later on died and had to bury. He told me one day, I am not my brother.
Ooh.
I am not my brother.
Wow.
And I was crushed because, first of all, he wasn't born when his brother was living. He was born a year and a half later. But he recognized that I shadowed him and was overprotective of him, and because of what I went through in my childhood, I spinned off of that when it came to mothering him.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to deal with that little girl or that little boy inside of you so that you can be the productive, holistically sound adult that you have been called to be, because all of that is going to spill over into your life.
Yeah.
And it's nothing worse than having a little person trapped inside of a grown body. I'm talking about 30, 40, 50, 60,
yep.
70 years old,
yep.
and just constantly not wanting to deal with her or him. Because you can't get to your maximum potential trying to shove that child in a closet.
Nope.
For me, little Marsha had to come out.
Yeah, that's good.
And I'm glad she did.
She had to. She had to.
I'm glad she did.
Wow. And so for everyone listening, you have to be clear on this. Your little fill-in-the-blank has to be free, too. Period. Has to be. Has to be. Because your healing goes beyond this month. Your healing goes beyond the day. And you deserve to live the life that was created for you before all of that residue happened and you stopped. So, as she already said, do the work. She's giving you some great tips, some great ways that she was able to do it. I hope you will take heed. I hope you will take action. I hope you took out your notebook and wrote this stuff down. If you did not in the beginning, rewind this thing and make sure that you do write that stuff down. Google search, find your local, you know, therapist office. If you work for an organization, there's something called EAP. Go to HR and ask about it. They will give you free sessions so that you can talk about what's really going on at the root of who you are. All those accolades are cute, but it's really what's going on the inside and how you're able to deal and accept you when nobody else is around that really matters. Tell everybody before we leave how to get in contact with you if they want to book you to come out and talk to their teens, all of that good stuff, social media and all of that, website, et cetera.
Absolutely. I can be found on social media at Marsha Ali, 757 on each IG. I can be found at Marsha Ali on Facebook. I can be emailed at talk. 757@gmail.com, or you can call me directly at 973-544-TALKT.
Yes, I love it. Thank you so much. This was really, really good, as I knew it would be. Yeah, it was good. Thank you. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, of course. All right, y'all, you know what time it is. I need you guys to make sure, as we always say, that you are intentional with your family, that you TKO mediocrity, including that mediocre thinking and living. And make sure that you win at this thing called life. It's not easy for any of us. Don't ever, ever, ever get that twisted. Make sure you join us for next week's edition of this Mother's Day podcast so that we can continue to dig deeper into this mama trauma, right? The silent truth behind mama trauma. Thank you so much, and I look forward to speaking to you next time.
It's your time to be a champion.